So tonight begins Rosh Chodesh. In general, the rule is, just as a prerequisite, nothing to do with the rest of the class. In general, if there's one day Rosh Chodesh, not this time, then the Rosh Chodesh, the words Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month, means that's the first day of the month. That's how it goes. If there's 2 days of Chodesh, what it means, except for Rosh Hashanah, what it means is today is going to be technically the 30th day of last month. That's the first day. And the next day is the first of the month. That's how the 2 days work. Again, except for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the oddity that there's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 days maybe Rosh Chodesh, you want to call that, and that's day one and day two of the month. So really tonight, the 30th of Nisan, but since we're not going to meet until next week, so I will tell you that the first of Iyar, which is tomorrow night, is one of the rarities of a date actually mentioned in the Torah. Now, as we know, the Torah does not mention the names of the months. It's called the first month, the second month. The names of the month, Iyar, Nisan, that's an event that occurred way later in history, way later. But in the time of the Torah, there were no names for month. It was just the name. It was the month number. And sometimes you get a date, a day of the month, which is the day. Here's one of the few. Opening by Midbar. We're not reading it now. Opening Midbar says like this. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. By Midbar, see, now that's one location. The Midbar. The first of the second month. Tomorrow night. Lashon Hashem is the second year. Not for us. Lamer saying. That the one of the most famous questions. What is always Lamer saying? What is Vayidaber and Lamer? So sometimes what they do is they say the next words are part of it. Now let's read the next words. The next words are Se'u es Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael. In English, take the sum of the entire nation. The accounting of what occurred in the desert, the Jews in the desert, one of the countings occurred tomorrow night, but a Shkodesh year, X amount of years ago. The Hasidic Forum say that's when it says Se'u es Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, in English, interpretation means take a sum, take a counting. But translated literally, Se'u is raise, es Rosh Kol Adas Yisrael, the heads of each Jew. So I saw in some of the Hasidic Forum that people should know that on tomorrow night is an inyan or an opportunity or an idea that we should stand tall as Jews. Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas Yisrael. Stand tall as Jews. In today's world, that is not always so easy. So that's just a thing for tomorrow night. Rosh Chodesh really is tonight. Today's Rosh Chodesh, but we don't call that Rosh Chodesh in dates. But really, for Rosh Chodesh, we have to stand proud, stand tall, and be honored to be part of this. Are we allowed to say chosen nation? As we know, people don't like that phrase anymore. But the chosen nation. Okay. Now, in this time period, in the time period that we're living in right now, some of us are scratching ourselves by Meyer. I saw him doing it. Akiv doesn't look like you didn't grow that since last. Since 3 years, that's not from 7 days, that beard, okay? Something tells me it's a little longer than 7 days. But okay, we now go through these days of mourning with a U, mourning with a U. And the reason why I do mourning with a U, as Shmuel said before, is because in this time period, 12,000 peers, P-A-I-R-S, which means 24,000 students, of Rabbi Akiva passed away, called a mini Holocaust, or not even mini, a serious Holocaust, 24,000 students died. And the Gemara adds in a very strange phrase. Why did 24,000 people die? What they do? That's dramatic. Very weak. What we would say, very weak. They didn't treat each other with the proper respect. It doesn't sound like an earth-shattering death penalty, punishment, plague 24,000 people. We might have discussed in other years. What we're going to discuss tonight, taking a circular route to come back to us, is what does it mean, Shalei Nagu Kavod? What do you mean you didn't treat people with Kavod? I don't know. What does Kavod mean? I'm into Kavod. It's what you think is Kavod. I'm not into it. So what does it mean, Leinogu Kavod Zebezel? How can we, in a generic sense, maybe it means that. Maybe you have to find out each person's specific Kavod. Maybe Leinogu means they never found out each person's Kavod. But on the simple level, we'll say it means a generic form of Kavod. Generic form means everyone didn't do a similar problem. Because if it was a different problem, maybe not. Okay. Well, so I'm going to go a circular route and get back to my brand new idea I came up with in the last 24 hours. A little wild, what it is. Is a fascinating thing. We have the Rambam in English shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You want to get it? One is in prayer or lulav, or both, if you can. Right now, here goes. We're going to turn this back. 11, chapter 11 in prayer. The Rambam starts out. Anytime you have 10 people from Yisrael living in a town, create a synagogue. Make a place for it. And then people go to pray. Makes sense. We're going to base. We're going to skip it because it's not relevant. When you build the base of Mikdash, You must build it in the tallest place in the city. I'm not saying we can't do that in America, obviously. The other nations stole that from other religions, stole that from us, that the religious house of worship should be the highest place. We're going to three now, just because those are not so relevant. Here goes what we're going to discuss now. Umamidim, and you set up, you place, bima, platform is a better word in English, but okay. We set up the bima, the emsa of the bias, in the middle of the synagogue, or the sanctuary, emsa. Crucial word here, Rambam. Kedei, in order, sheyala aleha hakayra, that the person who's reading should go up, it's a platform, oi, whoever's speaking, in order, crucial words, that everyone should hear it. So that's what it says. When you're building a synagogue, put it in the middle, where you're laying from, not where the guy's diving from, because you're going up. When you dive in, the guy's supposed to go down. That's an open halacha. If you're going through Ramoshul, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Ramoshul, there is an indent where the guy dives, it's supposed to go down. Some of the synagogues, like the orchestra, you go down for it. When it comes to laying in the Torah, you go up onto the platform. You go to the old synagogue, they have the platform. And the platform officially is in the middle. We'll discuss that in a second. Why the Rambam seems to say, I say seems, today, sheyishmu, kulam, everyone to hear. Everyone to hear means that the best opportunity for everyone to hear is you place in the middle. If you're going to place in the front or in the back, you're going to miss. So in order for everybody to do it, that's what the Rambam says to hear. If you stop right here, you have an interesting law, like this, the Kesef Mishnah, the Holy Basia, I simply wrote a comment on the Rambam, right on the side here, says something mind-blowing. He says, if the reason is today, in order that, though the reason is everyone should hear, in my time, he's writing this Kesef Mishnah, when I'm looking around, I see that some of the shuls, when it comes to building, they can't get that thing in the middle. They're moving things around. Is it a problem? No. As long as everyone hears, it's good. So he says, if you have a small synagogue, and everyone's going to hear no matter what, then don't worry about it. Middle, no middle, you're good to go. Kesef Mishnah on the side. He's taking the word seriously. If we stop the class, everyone would agree before we get to any questions. Yeah. The Rambam says, put it in the middle today so people should listen. Everyone should hear. That sounds okay. That means the reason to put it in the middle, everyone should hear. So if everyone hears, who cares? Everyone's good to go. As simple as that sounds, there are mind-blowing questions on this Kesef Mishnah, and this will result, which I don't know how much time we have tonight, in practical law. How serious do we take? The Kesef Mishnah is basically saying, you don't have to take it that seriously. If the acoustics work out, or if the beautification of the depends on how you set up the synagogue, it looks nicer on the side. So, but are you allowed to switch things around, or what's going to be with the bima? So you stop at the Kesef Mishnah, and you say, okay, does everyone in the sanctuary hear what's going on? Then as far as the bima goes, we're good to go. Now, first question, very serious question, there is no Mishnah, no Gemara openly that states as a ruling, place the bima in the middle. So the Rambam, that's like a pretty impressive assumption here, Rabbi Rambam, that you decide that you come in halacha, which we like, it's a practical thing, doesn't sound like a real literate rule, practicality, put in the middle, everyone in here, but okay, you know, usually the Rambam is source.
I mean, it's based on the way the Mishkan was in the...
Excellent, we got it. Maybe, yes. First question. It's from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer has this bomb question. And you don't give the answer. But Chassam Sofer says this. There is a fascinating synagogue that is described in the Talmud. Sukkah 51b. Sukkah 51b says, whoever never saw, English Oscar, whoever did not see the benches of Alexandria in Egypt, never saw the glory of the Jews. Oscar, the settlement of the Jews in Egypt dates back to the time of the destruction of the first temple, when Gedai ben Achikam was assassinated. When the Jews were in Egypt, post being in Egypt, a very long time. And they had a gorgeous situation going on there. They said, how large was it? It was as large as Basilila. No idea what that is, who cares? Architects, don't care. And it had a row of rows. Just in case, how big is it? We could fit a bunch of people in and knock out a wall here. On occasion, there were in attendance a multitude, I'm reading an open Gemara here, 600,000 twice. Simple math, lawyer, is what? 600,000 times two, 1.2 million people in this grand, great synagogue of Alexandria. Okay.
Bigger than the temple in Jerusalem, sounds like.
Is that it? Could that fit one? I don't even know. That's probably much smaller, my assumption. Well, okay, we're not finished it. Now it says, but what's the point? There are cheers of gold. They separated, imagine this in today's America. They separated areas of prayer services by jobs. Unbelievable. So if you were, let's say, a random example, a dentist, there's an area called dentistry, and you're hanging out there. right? There were 72 chairs of gold, corresponding to 71, it says. Members of the great Sanhedrin. Each one had no less than 21 myriads of gold kikar. Beyond my, here goes what we're going to discuss. There was a wooden platform in the center. That's ringing a bell here. Wooden platform in the center. That is crucial. 1.2 million stadium is the guy sitting in the bleachers. I mean, this chazan's got to have the voice of history. No microphones 1,000 years ago. Here's what he did. Upon which the synagogue sexton, that's at the shamish, stood with a flag in his hand. When it came time for the congregation to answer amen, we'd wave the flag. And everyone answer amen. Big halacha practice today. When you don't hear the guy davening, can you say amen? One of the laws is, do you know where he is? If you know where he is, that's already a leniency. Not where he is standing, where he is internationally. I know, I'm counting. First bracha is on brains. Second bracha is on forgiveness. I'm with him. I don't actually hear the words. Open the door seat to say it's aloud. But some safe has a bomb question. He said, Rabbi Kessler, let me ask you something. Again, it's not a rule. They set the system up that the beam is in the middle. Rambam, you said you put the middle so everyone should hear. Kesef Mishnah, you say if you don't hear, who cares? Guess what? No one's hearing with the flags. The first six guys are hearing. I don't know how loud the guys. In the end, you're coming out the flags. Open. So obviously, and yet they put it in the middle. So why are you putting it to the middle if not everyone's hearing? So if you want to say, Rabbi Kesef Mishnah, the reason to put it in the middle is everyone's here. If everyone can hear anyway, who cares? No. There's no such thing. Hearing and middle don't connect automatically based on this Gemara. Because this Gemara has nobody hearing and it's in the middle anyway. Which means there's a reason, like Shmuel was hinting at, to put it in the middle without hearing.
Wait, does it say it's in the middle?
Yeah, I said, yeah.
Read it again where it says it's in the middle.
Yes. Ubima shall eat b'emti yasa, a wooden platform in the center. So, Sam Sofer says, buddy, you got it wrong. As a sidebar, we're going to continue on the Sam Sofer. As a sidebar, Sam Sofer said, there must be a different reason. Like Shmuel was hinting at, we're going to go to the temple and we're going to figure out what the beam represents in a minute. But the Priyasada, much later, after the Sam Sofer, he says, listen, I got an issue here. Pay attention, let's go the steps, because I like this. Rambam says, put it in the middle of everyone to listen. Kesef Mishnah says, because it's based on listening, if everyone can hear, we don't care. Sam Sofer comes along and says, listen, you see middle is not Kesef Mishnah, you're wrong, because middle doesn't connect to hearing. So the Priyasada says, I'm sorry, if you're my hero. I got to put, why are you asking this on the Kesef Mishnah? Ask on the Rambam. He said, when you read the Sam Sofer, he's talking about the Kesef Mishnah. He's saying, Kesef Mishnah, you said you don't care about the middle. I'm telling you, Rabbi Kesef Mishnah, Sam Sofer saying, you better put it in the middle. I got another reason to put it in the middle. He said, okay, but before your other reason, why you, this question before your answer is not a question on the Kesef Mishnah, but the Rambam. Rambam, why did you say put it in the middle? Rambam says, kidday, in order to share it. That's not true. And then the Priyasada says, I've got a bigger question. Some sort of it. If you believe in this Gemara so fondly, which Priya Sada says I do agree with, he says, well, what did Rambam do with this Gemara? Why are you folks get submission? Rambam says, put it in the middle, everyone should listen. That's not true. You see, the Gemara doesn't say that. He says, like, don't focus on the Kesef Mishnah, focus on the Rambam. That's a much bigger question. Kesef Mishnah is 1500, Rambam much earlier. Following? It's a little tough. The steps. The Rambam says, put it in the middle in order for everyone to hear. Kesef Mishnah takes this reasoning so seriously and says, if everyone can hear anyway, they don't need the middle. The crucial point is hearing. So if everyone hears, middle's irrelevant. Put it in the middle in order to hear. You can hear, who cares? Sam Sofer says, wait a second, this Gemara shows hearing and middle are not connected. Kesef Mishnah, you're wrong.
But maybe that's only when there's 1 million and 1.2 million people. When they, no matter where you put it, they're not going to be able to hear.
So when...
And most,
okay, wait. Sure, someone answers. Let's finish the thought. That means if everyone's not going to hear anyway, then what? Put it anywhere.
Middle, so anybody at least could see it. Visually. You can all see the flag.
Okay, you started good.
You can see the flag that way.
Sam Sofer asked, Lachasco asked, and said, maybe it's for visual. He says this in a throwaway line that most people would have missed. He says, just to answer your question, Sam Sofer says, this doesn't say you have to have one flag. It doesn't say there was one flag. Maybe there was one large flag that everyone could see from everywhere. Maybe you had a system of flags like we do in Rosh Hashanah when it comes to the mountains to send it out there. So if you don't need one flag, or you have the largest flag in America anyway, then there's no reason to put it in the middle. That's what he says. So he comes up with a wild idea. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, it happens to be, by the way, unbelievable. Yeah? The Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam, he wrote another thing also. You know what else he wrote? He wrote the Beis Yosef. He also wrote something else called the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch Code of Laws, Guess what? Does he talk about putting a beam in the middle? No. And everyone says, of course he doesn't talk about it. Because in his Kesher Mishnah, he said, middle is irrelevant. It's based on acoustics. It's based on who can hear. It's based on beautification. So when it came to the laws, he comments on the Rambam in Sefer A. And Sefer A says, by the way, Rambam, you don't, since it's a reason, we can move around the reason. And when we can, we don't need the middle. In his law Sefer, he left it out. But the Ramah, the Moshe Isles, he adds it in. But there's a difference here. The Ramah says, do we have it here? The Ramah says, place, he says, Hagah, when he says about building, he says, by the way, place the beam in the middle, that everyone will hear. He left out, the reason is so that. The Rambam added a word in Hebrew, the Rambam would do it, kedei sheyishmu kol, in order that everyone hears. He didn't write the word in order, he just wrote, then everyone hears. But so he says, listen, I must copy the Rambam, read the rest of the words, that's what he's doing here. Well, I leave out a word. So the Rambam is teaching us that don't read the Rambam and say that's the reason. No. The reason to put the bima in the middle has nothing to do with the hearing. Don't do it as a reason. It's going to happen. Put it in the middle and everyone will hear. But not that the reason, which means the reason something else, we'll get to maybe. The reason is something else, and therefore it doesn't matter. Place it in the middle unless you figure out what the reason is. If you can't figure out what the reason is, you're always obligated to place it in the middle. We have something that says, you know, I like this idea so much. And I believe that the Rambam couldn't have missed the Gemara in the Sukkah. I'm even taking a step further. The Rambam is not telling you, I'm telling you it's not the reason. I'm telling the Rambam says it's not the reason. There's no such thing that the reason to place in the middle is there. Whoa. The Rambam just said the words. I read the words. Place it in the middle in order. Everyone share. He said, no, it's not what it means. What did I say before? I said before was that he wrote, I don't know why he closed it before. He wrote, place it, the platform, good. Mamida bima b'emtzavayis, in order that people should go up. It's raised platform. And place it in the middle. And automatically, everyone's going to hear. He says, it's not everyone's going to hear. Everyone's going to attempt to listen. Because what he says, Priyasada says is, when you put something on a raised platform in the middle, people understand that has value to it. That is valuable. The goal is to raise the banner of what the Torah is. We're reading the Torah from the middle. We're rolling out that scroll. So in order to get people to impress upon them, this is a very impressive item. This is serious. We place it in the middle and we raise it up. But it's not in order physically for people to hear. If everyone can hear physically, I don't care. Nothing to do with that. It's an emotional concept. We want everyone to respect it. His words. He says, give it honor. Honor to the Torah. That's a big thing about Judaism. Honor to the Torah. Honor to the scroll. Honor to the guy reading it. Now you do that. You raise it up. And you put it in the middle. He adds a very obvious concept. The middle means it's the center. That was the word I used in English, actually. They said center. I don't know if they mean center middle. There was a wooden platform in its center. I don't think it's middle and center, but he means it as the center means it's the focal point. It's the focus is the middle. He says middle is the proper way to do things. We don't want guys too cheap. We don't want guys spending money, too much money. The Rambam and other theories of characteristics says, stay in the middle. Stay in the middle. So we put it in the middle to show that's the center point. That's the main idea. That's the focal point. And then automatically people say, oh, who's the guy on the stage? You listen to the guy on the stage. The guy not on the stage, you don't take him as seriously. Subconsciously, consciously, doesn't make a difference. There's something about putting in the middle, that's the Priyasada says. Possible to say. When the Gemara says, this is my stretch, when the Gemara says that they weren't Noya Kovet Zebazet, very strange. They didn't respect each other, so they didn't respect each other, 24,000 people died. Whoa, that's like aggressive. What does it mean that they respect each other? So now we can say, maybe you see when it comes to a basic message about the Torah, the Torah of Kiva students, the Torah is the main thing, did not respect meant they didn't make the Torah and or the people learning it the focal point, the center, the people they're going to listen to. Listen to means not just in the words, take them seriously. The guy with the bullhorn in the front gets more people's attention. 65 people that have stupid signs, not everyone's reading the sign. But the guy with the bullhorn screaming nonsense, he's the guy the news camera runs over to. Because so what it means, they didn't have, they weren't even covered. They weren't even covered. We said, what's called covered? But take, we're extrapolating that when we see that the concept of a basic message, a concept of the Torah scroll, when you roll out the Torah scroll, the concept of Yekiva student talking about Torah, doesn't say here, but here we're talking about a basic message. But the concept of Torah is supposed to be, which means raise it up, make it the center point of your life. You could have 24,000 people studying Torah 24 hours a day, but Torah is not the main focal point of their life. Given the, as an example, a bad one, given the opportunity, they would switch in 2 seconds. Give them a $100,000 CEO job, they leave before you even finish the statement. Or is it really, we've said in the past, we're going to repeat the same thing we said in the past, just a little bit now. The Kli Chemda, who came to America in the 20s, I think it was, maybe early 30s, back in the 20s, came to America, desolate land of Torah Judaism, and he gave this speech. He said, the Mishnah says that Yossi ben Kisma, that's his name, was walking on the road, and he bumped into somebody, and somebody said to him, Rebbe, how you doing? Rebbe Omairis, and he said, who he was. He said, person, where are you from? He says, Rebbe, I want to hire you. I want to hire you, and I'll give you $1 million, and come be the Rosh Hashiva where I live. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma responded, I only live in a place of Torah. Only a place of Torah. That's what it says, the Mishnah. That's the value of being in the right surroundings. So the Kli Chemda, sitting in America in the 1920s, says, I got a question on Yossi ben Kisma. Yet when you read the Mishnah, he missed out a crucial detail. He should have asked the guy, where do you live? The guy says, come to where I live. I'll make you a shiva, give me $1 million. And he said, I want to go to Makom Torah. Maybe the guy lived in fill in the blank, B'nai Brak, Yerushalayim, Lakewood, Flatbush, downtown Brooklyn, Brooklyn Heights. Fill in. Ask the guy, where do you live? When the guy says, I live in place X where your mother-in-law lives, oh, that place, that's a terrible place, right? You could have done that. There's Oklahoma, no way. Gaza, no. But he didn't ask him. So Kli Chemda is sitting in America in 1920. He says, Yossi ben Kisma, he missed an opportunity of a lifetime. So he answers like this, with an Americanizing. Every location has a sales point. When you want to go to Florida, and near the beaches. Beachfront property. You want to go to Colorado, ski slope something, I don't know what the words are. Arizona, whatever it is. You're selling something. What are you selling? He said, when this guy came over to me, he said, I want you to come to me. And what am I going to do for you? I'll give you $1 million. He said, that's not a place of title. It could be. It looks like Yerushalayim, B'nai Brak, downtown Brooklyn. Guys are learning 24 hours. That's not all day place of title. Because if you're selling Torah, you don't sell Torah with money. You don't say, oh, you want to learn? I'll give you $1 million. Huh? Then what are you valuing? $1 million of learning. So the idea of what Torah is supposed to be is a place of Torah. It means the Torah itself has to be something. So yes, potentially, I'm not saying 24,000 students weren't doing it, I'm just saying as a lesson to learn, that the 24,000 students died. So they know who covered Zeb is there. They were learning all day. They didn't say they didn't learn. They were learning. Within their learning, they were learning. They weren't knowing your covered Zeb is there. What does it mean we're not covered Zeb is there? Possible to say, but the covered of Zeb is there means looking at a person who's learning and saying, I make that the center point of my life. I listen to those people. Because you can have a guy learning, and by the way, it goes both ways. The other way, you can have guys who don't open a sefer for months on end, but the focal point of their life is Torah Judaism. Torah Judaism. That's the goal. That's what I want. That's what I respect. That's what I value. That's what I listen to. I'm not doing it. We have an obligation, say maybe mitzvah, to work and support our families. A lot of good work. But what's the focal point? What's the focal point? So in this time, when 24,000 people passed away, and we mourn them with you, we also must remember, to raise our head up high as Jews, as we started the class tonight, but to raise our head up high as Torah Jews. Judaism, great. Not selling that short. Torah Judaism is supposed to be the focal point. Torah Judaism. Not falafel, I eat gefilte fish. I came years ago, when I first came to this class, there was a poll that came out. How do you identify as a Jew? And I was like, gefilte fish, shawarma, some other nonsense. No. I'm not saying, listen, you identify as a Jew, you're already ahead of the game. We keep on discussing this class out. If you could say the word positive out of October 7th, if that's just a word you could use together, is that secular people who you would never think here at all, I now identify as a Jew. Huge step forward. But that's not our job. Our job is to identify as Torah Jews. Value it, put it at the center, listen to it. We're going to stop here because of the wedding, Shmuel. If you come back next week, we'll go through the second half of this, or maybe of why the beam is still in the middle. Can we do when we get to the Psalm Sefer answers and our five other answers that people give? Maybe I can.